People, I am brand new to this. I've heard of the Borderlands games before, but I've never played them. I've never watched any of the gameplay or the cutscenes until this morning. I didn't play it this morning, but I did start to watch some of the gameplay and the cutscenes. I did not know this was a first-person shooter. And another thing that I was really impressed by that I didn't know this was like a... Is this considered cel-shaded animation? It looks like, you know, like Jet Set Radio Future, or when they did that type of animation that was layered over the actors in that movie, A Scanner Darkly. I believe that, and it's kind of like Batman Telltale and The Walking Dead video game. It's cel-shaded animation, man. I did not know that this game looked like that. I'm a sucker for those types of visuals in games. I think that's amazing. I wouldn't be against more movies doing that. I haven't seen A Scanner Darkly, but I've always wanted to see it just based on how it looks. But nonetheless, man, Borderlands, I'm going into this blind. You know, all I know is that they were teasing it. Jamie Lee Curtis was actually teasing this for a while, and then they said Kevin Hart was attached to it, and so on and so forth. So we finally we got a full trailer for this, man. Now I want to say we got a teaser for this prior. I really don't remember, man. But we have a full trailer here for the Borderlands live action adaptation. Obviously, there's going to be some CG in the mix, because when you have an abandoned fictional planet called Pandora, where people are searching for a mysterious relic, because that's what the plot synopsis says here, you know it's going to be CG. You know it's going to be CG heavy. You know the budget's going to be there. And shout out to Eli. Like, come on, man. Eli Roth, can we just take the time out to really give Eli Roth the credit he deserves, man? Because not only did he write and direct and co-write this with Joe Crombie, but Eli Roth, like, the man he can't miss. He can't miss, man. Even the movies that people really don't gravitate towards as much as far as mainstream goes. Like, I know a lot of people didn't like Hostel 2. I know a lot of people didn't like Death Wish with Bruce Willis. I know a lot of people didn't really care for The Green Inferno. But there is something to be loved in every single Eli Roth movie, man. My personal favorite, I will always be a Cabin Fever guy. You know, I love the first Hostel movie, man. That's the shit nightmares are made of. But my man is fresh off of last year's major success of Thanksgiving, which is it's now an iconic slasher movie in the genre, man. It is a holiday themed horror movie, and that's what I was hoping for, man. John Carver is here to stay. Spoiler alert, yes, he will be back for Thanksgiving too. But y'all can also check out my spoiler review for Thanksgiving. Did I do a commentary for it? I don't think so. Maybe I should, just to celebrate Mr. Eli Roth here, man. But the guy can't miss. You know, now he's jumping into video game adaptations on screen. Big shout out to him, man, for not being, you know, he's just the guy that made Cabin Fever and Hostel. Nah, he can do different things, man. I appreciate the versatility. Now, as far as this cast goes, man, like I said, Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee Curtis can do no wrong. She can do no wrong, man. Most recently, last month, I did finally get to see Everything Everywhere All at Once. And she was solid in that, man. And congrats to her for getting her, you know, her award for that movie. I think she got a Best Supporting Actress. But I love that Jamie Lee Curtis has never put herself in a box either, you know, especially after movies like H2O, where people were just like, oh, that's Laurie Strode, the chick from Halloween. It's like, nah. She's also the mother from House Arrest. Like, put some spec on her name. But no, Jamie Lee Curtis, I love that at this point in her career, she's not afraid to try new things. She's not afraid to, you know, be in a multi-dimensional, interdimensional action movie with so much story and layer to it. She's not afraid to be in a video game adaptation. She's not afraid to be in an episode of Reno 911 where her, I'm not even going to talk about her, her two best friends who were very much propped up in that episode. Was it Reno 911? I think so. But no disrespect to the Scream Queen at all. But you got Kevin Hart in here. One of the hardest working men. Philly stand up, first and foremost. One of the hardest working men in Hollywood, man. I don't know. I'm sorry. I got to be honest. When I saw Kevin Hart was in this, the first thing I thought to myself, I said, please, please do not let him play a fucking character that is reminiscent to his character in Jumanji. Welcome to the Jungle, please. I just couldn't. I think, going back and watching it recently, like a couple months ago, I was like, okay, maybe this isn't as bad as I thought it was, but my expectations were crazy. And I just did, like, the way that they just displayed these characters in those Jumanji movies, I'm like, oh my God. But no, Kevin Hart's actually one of the funniest men working today, and actually a really great actor, man. I know a lot of people didn't really like Lyft, but I think Lyft gave him an opportunity to not say a joke every 5 seconds. I think, you know, True Story allowed him to do his best acting in his career. I think The Upside is one of the bright spots in his dramatic acting, too. And I'm going to do commentary for Fatherhood, the movie he's in, but that's not going to be until like June, whenever the hell Father's Day is. But Kevin Hart's a national treasure, man, and a staple for the city of Philadelphia. So shout out to him. You got Kate Blanchett in here, who's a bit of a chameleon, man. Kate Blanchett, I didn't even recognize her when she was in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But it's something about Kate Blanchett. She's almost like an evil version of, what's that chick's name? Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. Is it Kate Hudson? I don't know. She's like an evil version of Kate Hudson, but I like it. I like it, man. Sorry. Bobby Lee is in here. Bobby Lee, he's familiar from, you know, the original Harold and Kumar, where he's like, Kenneth Park, class of 1999, or whatever he says. And he's the guy, he comes back in Harold and Kumar 3, and he gets, like, fucking pelted to death damn near by those people with those eggs on the street. But Bobby Lee is funny as fuck, man. If you look at any podcast that he's featuring on or that he is hosting, the guy is fucking hilarious, man. Sometimes unintentionally hilarious, but sometimes I think he tries to play it so straight that he wants to see if you're going to laugh or if you're going to take him serious or not. Please check out his online shit, man. Gina Gershon, you know, she's becoming an Eli Roth familiar here because she was in Thanksgiving. She gets her fucking muffin peeled back blue. Oh, my God. Her scalp, the way it's disgusting. She gets a really bad fate in that movie. But Jack Black plays Claptrap. Jack, listen, say it 4 times. I dare you. Jack Black plays Claptrap in here. That's like that thing, that steel thing that's in the game, apparently. But Jack Black, he's doing really good at being these animated characters doing voice acting. I love Jack Black. I love that he is you know, going strong with his voice acting career, man. And you know, Jack Black is, it's just the Goosebumps shit that threw me off. I didn't really like him or that movie for that matter, but it's no need for me to cast him out. Ariana Greenblatt is in here. Who else? Edgar Ramirez. Ain't that the dude from, he was in, oh my God, he was in the Point Break remake, which I've never seen before, but let me see who else is in here. Ryan Redman, Cheyenne Jackson, Oliver Richards, and Florian Montinanu. Is that, hold on. This guy right here, whose name I couldn't even pronounce. Is that my man from Creed 2? Is that Drago Jr.? Yep, that's Victor Drago. And he was in Shang-Chi. He was Razor Fist in Shang-Chi. That fucking bus sequence on Shang-Chi, I can promise y'all, is some of the best fight choreography in any Marvel movie ever. But people, I'm rambling on. About to be 8 minutes into this. This dropped yesterday. Shout out to IGN Movie Trailers. This trailer is 2 minutes and 44 seconds long. So let's see what this is hitting for, man. Like I said, I'm going into this blind. I'm not going to recognize the Easter eggs and all of the references and things like that. But I'm just hoping it looks like a good, wild time. I don't know what the rating is for this, but let's go in blind and jump into this trailer reaction, people, for Borderlands. I'll hit the play button in 3, 2, 1.
This is Reach.
Yeah, my apologies, people, but it's a Halo ad for the series, season 2. So I'm not really bothered by that. Y'all know how I feel about Halo. Damn, I gotta finish season 1.
Would you look at that? A ladder! Unfortunately, my design doesn't facilitate this type of...
Well, the rabbit girl, I do remember. I just saw her in a cutscene before I started recording.
Legend has it that there's this massive treasure hidden in some secret vault. And if you go hunting for it, you'd better take any help you can get. Because it's on the weirdest, most dangerous...
Costume design is fire, yo.
...in the universe. God, I hate this planet.
What is that smell?
Just washed up.
Ew!
Put the window up.
I don't want to.
Roll the window up.
Rolling up.
Oh.
It's pee.
Why do you think it's called piss wash? How did it get the name?
It's in my mouth.
Ew. That's disgusting.
Do you know how many people have died looking for this vault?
We have something they don't, baby girl.
Okay. What?
major issues.
Time to make it rain with your body parts.
What?
What did I tell you?
Minimal no explosions.
I said no explosions.
Hmm. Okay, Kevin Hart.
Ooh, mine's bigger.
What are you doing?
I needed a gun.
So you asked for it. There's only one of you in the world, and you're special.
Uh-oh.
Kill them all.
They're shooting a tin can, like. The hell is that? That's a way to make an entrance and exit right there.
What's happening right now?
I'm expelling the excess lead. I can't go if you're looking at me. Actually, scrap that. I can. I really can. Actually, it's helping.
Are you really waiting for this to finish?
Keep looking at me.
Oh my god. Okay, so, it is Thursday, people. 9:45 a.m. to be exact. Now, I haven't seen anybody's trailer reactions. I have not watched anybody's, like, trailer breakdowns and all of that type of shit. So, I'm going to just say this. The fact that I went into this blind, I don't know how many people are going to make this comparison, but I completely understand if they do. I'm getting Guardians of the Galaxy vibes off this, off the fucking rip. The music that they chose for the trailer, the interaction they're showing with these characters, the way they're establishing this world, this fictional planet of Pandora, how much fun, you know. And I'm not a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, but I did make it my business to tell myself I was going to give all three of them a chance because part three looks really good. So I was like, okay, I finally have to make it through the first one. I have to make it past the intro of the second one, and I want to get into part three. Knowing everything about these characters in this story. But I will say that those movies do look fun. Like, they look almost too much fun. That's why I didn't want to watch Guardians of the Galaxy, because I'm like, I know they're all going to be all right. There's not going to be any stakes. If somebody dies, they're going to come back. There's no emotional stakes to it. There are no high stakes. That's what this feels like. This feels like, but listen, to its credit, this shit looks, visually, it looks great. It looks great, man. They are giving Eli Roth the money he deserves for a movie. Thanksgiving, I don't know what the budget was for that, but I feel like this is Eli Roth's biggest film as far as budget goes and as far as his career goes. And it should be. Why shouldn't it be? Why shouldn't he get the same opportunities that all these other directors are getting out there? Only Eli Roth is a hell of a lot better than a lot of these other directors out here who get a shit ton of money to make bullshit. But this, like, is the only thing I could say as far as the vibes this is giving me. It is giving me Guardians of the Galaxy. But I guess that's the tone of the game, I'm assuming. They want you to know that this is going to be as much fun as you play in the game. We're going to bring the game to life on screen for you. And that's fine. Like, I'm cool with that. Does it make me want to go back and play the game and get familiar with it? Nah, I'm cool with going into this blind and not knowing anything. Because one of the things about video game adaptations, yes, they do make these movies for the diehard fans out there, at least the ones that care about the diehard fans. But I think on the flip side of that, it's good when people who haven't played any of the games can still enjoy the films. That's for certain, you know, certain shit. Like, I feel like if nobody's ever, you know, because we saw a trailer or an ad for it before we started this trailer, I think if nobody has ever seen Halo, nobody's ever played Halo, maybe they could possibly go into the series. I'm not sure. That's debatable. I feel like everything is debatable. You know, maybe you could never have seen or played Tomb Raider, and you can go into those, well, at least the Alicia Vikander Tomb Raider, and just go into it blind, like, oh, I actually like this as a movie. You know, you can, it's one thing to make a video game adaptation, but it's another thing to make an actual movie at its core. You know, you want to make something that, like, I feel like I'm about to talk myself in circles, man. You just really want to make something that if people haven't played the games before, they can still enjoy it on its own. You know, that's great, you know, because then you can have people recommend it. Like, well, even if you've never played the game before, you can still love this movie. It's still things to love about these characters. And listen, like I said, visually, this movie is great. The costume designs are amazing here. And if it's one thing y'all know I'm a sucker for, is post-apocalyptic settings. It's post-apocalyptic just movies in general, if they're done right. This looks like shit can hit the fan. You know, you saw those guys. I hate to call them stormtroopers. That's like the only comparison I can make. But the military guys, I guess, in on that planet, how their formation is and things like that. They're heavily armed. You see Kevin Hart and his crew are heavily armed. Jamie Lee Curtis, she gave me... She made me think of her playing Helen Tasker in True Lies, where she grabs the gun out of Kevin Holt's. I don't know who the fuck that is. Kevin Hart's holster, and she kind of shoots something that's above them, and he's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "I needed a gun," and he's like, "Well, you asked for it." How nervous she is to shoot that gun, it reminds me of when Helen is afraid to fire off the Uzi in True Lies, or just afraid to defend herself in general. But I thought coming off the heels of Everything Everywhere All at Once, I thought that Jamie Lee Curtis was going to be more of a badass in this. But I'm cool with her being, you know, like unseasoned to, you know, fighting and things like that. Cate Blanchett, she seems like she's going to be the one with the most attitude, but she looks like she's going to whoop the most ass. Kevin Hart's cracking jokes. He's, you know, he's being irritated with certain characters. Obviously, Jack Black is there in a movie where Kevin Hart, you would expect him to be the comic relief. No, Jack Black as a fucking, he's basically like a rundown version of like R2-D2 who doesn't shut up. He is the comedic effect here. The girl with the bunny ears, I forgot her name just that fast because I literally saw her in a cutscene for, I think it was Borderlands 3? Was it Borderlands 3? I don't remember, but they did like the whole, you know, freeze frame and then her name pops up with some caption underneath. I believe that's what happened, but she's going to be the, you know, the whiny brat, the little sister, damsel in distress type of character. And the dude just has no dialogue. The big motherfucker, Victor Creed, you know, Victor Creed. God, people, I don't know what's wrong with me. I haven't had a stitch of coffee or energy tea today. Victor Drago is what I meant to say. He's the guy with the mask on, just the brute for the most part. I'm cool. If you want to be the muscle for the crew, I'm fine with that. I don't really have a lot bad to say about this, I guess, because I'm not really familiar with the source material at all. But I can say, just going into it blindly as somebody who is just unfamiliar with it all, I can say this looks like a lot of fun, man. This is definitely something I would watch just for a fun time. You know, I can't go into this with the eyes of a diehard fan and just be like, well, they didn't get this costume right, that character would never say that. Nah, maybe it's not fair that I'm going into this blindly, but I think as a post-apocalyptic sci-fi action comedy, like to blend these genres together, it looks like they might pull it off. I could be wrong, but just judging what I see from first watch of the trailer, it doesn't look too bad, man. It looks like a lot of fun. The movie, like I said, the money's there, and if the money's there, please have some really, I want these action sequences to be as great as they look. They look like they're a lot of fun. Chase sequences where you're being shot at or where you're shooting into creatures and when they explode, you're just exiting out of the creatures at the same time. Shit like that should be a lot of fun. There's no reason that they don't take all the liberties they can with a fictional planet in a post-apocalyptic world, man. And I love that it's not... I'm all for a post-apocalyptic movie because I kind of prefer to see how the characters and how these civilizations scratch and survive as opposed to something all polished up. It's kind of like the difference between, you know, Total Recall, the Paul Verhoeven Total Recall and the Len Wiseman Total Recall. You know, everybody's got money and glamour and glitz and fortune and fame at their disposal. I mean, you have different classes of people, but it's such a polished up future in comparison to how gritty and grimy and run down and just badass Paul Verhoeven made his future in that movie, man. So I prefer to run down shit, man, because it makes the characters way more resourceful at the end of the day. What can we do? What can we create? What plan can we come up with to get ourselves out of this situation or to defeat these enemies type of thing? It puts the characters and it puts the writers' backs against the walls creatively. So it makes you come out with better shit, to say the least. I don't know how descriptive that was for y'all, but let's watch this one more again.
Would you look at that? A ladder! Unfortunately, my design doesn't facilitate this type of...
Well, destiny awaits.
Let's say, oh no, that was A2. I was about to say, does that say A24? Massive treasure hidden in some secret vault. And if you go hunting for it, you better take any help. I'm sorry, I like redhead Kate Blanchett.
Because it's on the weirdest, most dangerous dumpster fire of a world in the universe.
God, I hate this planet.
They shouldn't have put from the producers of Venom. People are going to be like, wait, what? God, that's disgusting.
It's pee. Why do you think it's called piss wash? How did it get the name?
It's in my mouth.
I love how the barrel rotates on her gun like that.
Do you know how many people have died looking for this vault?
We have something they don't, baby girl.
Okay. What?
Major issues.
I like that line.
Time to make it rain! With your body parts!
What did I tell you?
Minimal no explosions!
I said no explosions!
That's badass, man. Kevin Hart letting off that turret.
Ooh, mine's bigger.
What do I need a gun?
So you asked for it. There's only one of you in the world, but you're special.
Uh-oh.
Kill them all.
I'm not gonna lie, they lit his ass up. He's got to shit out all of those bullets.
What's happening right now?
I'm expelling the excess lead. I can't go if you're looking at me. Actually, scrap that. I can. I really can. Actually, it's helping.
Are we really ready for this to finish?
He can't blanch. It's just like, all right, man. Damn. Now, we don't have a release date on this. It just says coming soon. So this is my thing. Is this, I'm wondering, this is more so like a question y'all can ponder on. I'm wondering where will this rank? Where do y'all think this will rank amongst video game adaptations on screen, man? Because I feel like, I think I said this when I did my trailer action for Knuckles, the TV series, which was a fire trailer, by the way. But I feel like we're taking better steps in the right direction with these video game adaptations. A lot of people did not like the Mortal Kombat reboot from 2021. I loved it. It's something I was waiting on for a long time. I think the fight choreography in the 1995 Mortal Kombat is still way better, holds up way better. It's way more entertaining than the fight sequences in the new one. But I think as far as bringing the video game to life on screen, they nailed it. They did it. It's as close as the game as we're going to get. And if you don't believe me, you go back and watch that. As much as I love that first movie, ain't nothing really like the game. It's some parts like the game, but ain't nothing like the game. And Mortal Kombat Annihilation was, they tried too hard to bring the fucking game to life, and they failed miserably. But I feel like with Sonic, with, I haven't seen Uncharted. Have not seen Uncharted. I haven't even played the game, but it's another one of those things where as a movie, I want to see it. As an adventure movie with Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg, I can try to get into it for sure, because it looks like it's got some edge of your seat type of action. But as far as the video game adaptations, we have been getting better, people. We've been getting better. We've come a long way since Super Mario Brothers, the movie, and Double Dragon, the movie, and House of the Dead, the movie. And I know a lot of people, I don't want to put the Resident Evil movies in there, the Mila Jovovich movies, but because I love them, guilty pleasure franchise, but I know a lot of people hate them. So I'll say, for the sake of argument, we've come a long way since the Resident Evil movies. Welcome to Raccoon City was an improvement, budget-wise, acting-wise, character-wise, not so much, but as far as giving us shit straight out of the video game, right before our very eyes, they nailed it. And Halo's another one, even though it's a series. And Twisted Metal is another beautiful example of bringing the video game to life, man. And I did not think that that show was going to be good at all. But Twisted Metal is another good example of that, man. We're getting there. I feel like we're getting there. So if this is a step in the right direction, and this is yet another notch on the belt of video game adaptations on screen, listen, we need to be happy for that, because it was a long period of time. I'm talking the 99 and the 2000. But the 90s and the 2000s in general, we were down bad with these video game adaptations, man. They were just cashing in on shit. They were. And I feel like there will be much, I'm not going to say not mainstream, because I know Borderlands is a household name. It's a very popular game. But I want to say that we can get, if this does well enough, maybe it's a step in the right direction of getting us more out of the ordinary video game adaptations on screen. Because, you know, everybody wants Mortal Kombat. Everybody wants Street Fighter. Everybody wants, you know, like Castlevania. Everybody wants Streets of Rage and things like that. But the much weirder properties, I feel like we are on our way to getting those. You know, the properties that are overlooked, that may be household names and may be popular, but not as popular as others. And I feel like there's a fan base for every game. And I feel like every game, if it's good enough to tell the story live action, every fan base deserves that. You know, every fan base of every game that is popping and that's got its fan base, or that has its, you know, like its brand name, I think people deserve that shit, man. You know, there's a lot of people who are anticipating the Zelda. There's a live action Zelda movie coming out. And I already know, depending on who you get to direct it and who you get to play Link, that movie is going to be probably one of the most anticipated video game releases or video game adaptations releases of all time. And I think that fans of the Zelda game franchise deserve that shit, man. Look at the Super Mario Brothers movie. I mean, Super Mario Brothers is a household name, but all the people that never got a proper due as far as the movie goes, they all deserved the Super Mario Brothers movie that we got, what, last year, I think? And it was amazing. It was a 10 out of 10. Whether this is going to be a 10 out of 10, I don't know, but I can't stress enough that this looks like fun, man. Plus, I want to support Eli Roth with every movie he comes out with, man. If Eli Roth's name is attached to it, I'm curious. If Eli Roth is directing it, I'm on it. You know, that's just the way it is. I've been a fan of his since Cabin Fever, man. So to see him go from, you know, Cabin Fever just a splatter fest. I mean, it's got some great character moments, some really great humor and things like that, and some really great references to other horror movies. But to see him go from humble beginnings like Cabin Fever to a Borderlands live action movie, it's a testament to the kind of director he is, man. He's not trying to put himself in the box. He's like, yeah, I can do horror, but I can also do this, and maybe I'll sprinkle a little bit of horror in there. There's no doubt in my mind that there would be like a horror movie moment in this movie. It wouldn't be Eli Roth if it wasn't. Even Death Wish has got a horror movie moment to it, because Bruce I don't know why I got a lisp all of a sudden, but Bruce Willis is walking around. I think they're calling him like the Grim Reaper or something in that movie. Man, he's walking around with a hoodie on, just blasting people in that movie. So that's a horror movie in itself. But like Eli Roth, versatility is key. And I respect it, man. So big shout out to him. And shout out to whoever put this trailer together. I don't know if when you know, it looks familiar. Like I said, Guardians of the Galaxy. But I wonder, like, when they were in the editing room and they finally showed the trailer to everybody before they decided to release it, were they like, does this remind anybody of anything? And everybody just kind of looked around and was like, no, just go ahead and release it. But makes no difference to me, man. It's going to be crazy if I end up seeing this before I get a chance to see any of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, man, and I end up really enjoying this. It's kind of going to take away from my excitement for Guardians of the Galaxy. It is, man, even though I'm more familiar, even though I don't like those movies, I'm more familiar with those characters altogether. I don't know any of these characters. Maybe I'll watch a couple cutscenes for Borderlands, the games. Like I said, the last one I was watching cutscenes for was Part 3. But maybe I'll watch some cutscenes and some gameplay to try to get familiar with this. I don't know. I just a desire to play it? No. Not absolutely play the game in full? No. But watching it and watching other people play it? Sure. Just to be like, oh, that was in the trailer, and oh, that's where they got that from. I think that's it's kind of fair for me to do, people. But y'all already know where to go. And if y'all don't, y'all can follow the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public, Podbean, and Podcast Addict. Shout out Spotify for podcasters. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, Romero Tudor. Shout out to the Facebook movie group, The Cinemaniacs. And last, but certainly not least, shout out to the Tudor reviewers, the listeners, the lovers, the supporters out there. Unfortunately, like I said, it is Thursday. And what did I drop this morning? I dropped the trailer reaction. X-Men 97. Finally got the X-Men 97 trailer out there. And later on, I'm going to drop the trailer for, what was that, Sting. That Spider movie that I'm hoping is entertaining. More entertaining than the trailer made it look. But I've got to drop those two trailers today and get some commentary locked and loaded for tomorrow and the weekend into next week. So unfortunately, y'all will not be getting this trailer reaction until Tuesday morning. But just bear with me, people. Hopefully, the excitement has not died down for the Borderlands trailer by the time y'all get this, man. But it's more trailer reactions to come. Listen, I know I keep saying it. I feel like I've been saying this for the last three outros for trailer reactions. But we finally got a release date for The Crow. Now, y'all know I was bitching and moaning about, can we get a trailer for The Crow and this and that. And we got a release date for The Crow. We got a release date. When the hell is the release date? I think it was June 7th. June 7th. Hopefully, it sets the summer on fire. We got a release date. We got a cast. I believe we got a loose plot synopsis. I don't know how much truth it was to that. So I'm assuming now that we have a trailer or a fucking trailer, now that we have a release date for the movie, I'm only assuming that we can get a trailer maybe by this weekend. I don't know. Let me speak it into existence, y'all. Let's bow our heads in prayer and put our hands together and speak it into existence and say we will get the Crow trailer this weekend. And if not this weekend, we'll get it by early next week. Let's speak it into existence, people. We need good things because I'm telling y'all, if this I don't even want to do it. It's a broken record, people. Y'all already know the love and support y'all show me. I show it back to y'all tenfold and then some. So with that being said, people, yours truly, Romero Tudor. Another episode of Tudor Reviews in the can. I'll check y'all on the next one.